Heavenly Father, we give glory to your name, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful testimony. Lord, we thank you because, you know, even when a prayer is delayed, doesn't mean denied. Even the so-called delay that is in the human language, there's no turning with God. You will do all things, make everything beautiful in their time. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for the fellowship here again. Reading the scripture this morning. Thank you for giving us your word. The entrance thereof, Lord, give us life. The lamp unto our feet and light to our paths. We give you praise and glory. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So some prayer secrets, you know. So you know, prayer is one of our major things as Christians. So we can't know too much about prayer, really, you know. Some prayer secrets this morning. Where sometimes there may be no human, we are put in a situation in this world, it happens all the time, when there seems to be no human explanation for what we are confronting us, and there's no human solution to whatever the problem might be that we are going through. So then, looking to the word of God, we see that in Psalm 142, it's one of such situations in David's life, you know, when he was a fugitive, running away from Saul, having done no wrong, even for the good he has done, not only for Saul, for the whole nation. How many times we suffer as Christians, and the Bible says we should rejoice when we don't suffer as a, you know, as a sinner or anything like that. But so anyway, so he went through this thing in Psalm 142, and there's a lot of lessons in there. So Psalm 142, it is a demonstration of the type of prayer. So these are some prayer secrets, right? A type of prayer that brings deliverance from any kind of distress. No matter what the distress may be, I don't know how much other distress one can go through that this man was going through at that time in that psalm, you know. Actually, he called this prayer psalm maski. Maski means instruction. So in other words, that psalm was a psalm of instruction. Why? Because of the good lesson that himself learned, you know, through the experience in there, you know. And, you know, calling upon the Lord, crying to the Lord upon his knees in India. And God saying that it will be beneficial for the generations to come. Here we are today. He inspired him to write it and become part of the scripture, you know. So this maski is written to, you know, for our instruction. Just as Romans 15:4 says of other scripture, we are told in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. See that? So we can learn from the thing that God put David through our own distressful times. We all go through one time or the other. So for our learning, see that we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope, the Bible says. So this psalm teaches us some prayer secrets by example. And principally, how to order our prayer in times of distress. So, well, someone once said that, had David prayed as much in his father when he got to the throne, as much as he did when he was in the cave, he would have gotten into all the trouble that he went through later in his life, you know. So, that's a great lesson. We can never get too comfortable in any position, amen. We have to come persistently until the Lord comes. You know, no matter how highly we are placed, we have to continue. So, if he was praying like he was praying in that cave, and he became king, all the things that confronted him, he could have escaped some of those things anyway. So Psalm 142, I begin to read from verse 1. He said, Maskil of David, that means instructions of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And you know that running away from Saul, I haven't done nothing wrong but good. So he become a fugitive. Now, I cried unto the Lord, he said, with my voice. With my voice, unto the Lord, did I make supplication. He has nowhere to go. He couldn't talk to any man. He was alone, lonely in that, because he said, I was lonely in the cave, you know. So, and God permitted him there, you know. So it was in that place where he can really cry. He can make, you know, I think the way they describe the cave, people who have been there, people know where the cave is today. I don't know if it's Engedi or whatever those came, I don't know that, you know. Anyway, and people trade down and say it was so dark in India, it was raining in India, and they could make all kind of noise and cry aloud and everything like that. You know, it's telling us that all kind of prayers, they have to cry unto the Lord. Prayers not always gentle things and so on. And sometimes have to cry to the Lord. So he says, cry to the Lord. And this thing is repeated many times here, you know. With my voice, I'm unto the Lord did I make supplication. So even there, not only just praying, he made supplication. Because he said, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. It's like a conversation with the Lord, you know. It shows how we should be, so get used to the Lord, you know, as our Father, you know. It's like talking to a friend. He just lay everything down as if the Lord didn't know it. He wasn't showing the Lord anything new. The Lord knew everything about what he was going to do. He was showing, he was venting out his concern, his distress, so himself can now know what he's going to do. But the Lord knows, the Bible said before we even pray, he knows what we are praying about, right? Sometimes we just have to do this kind of thing, you know. And I always call this, don't edit the prayer. Lay it before the Lord the way it is. The situation, lay it before God the way it is. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's how we need to really go, you know. Make us our friend, you know. And when my spirit was overwhelmed, you see, within me, then thou knewest my path. So it was so overwhelming in his spirit and things like that, you know. Can you imagine? In the dark cave and so on and that, you know. But he didn't give up, you know. Call upon the Lord. So no matter what we may be going through anytime in our life, the Lord knows all about it. You know, so let us be encouraged that way. No matter what stage we are in our Christian faith, don't forget that the Lord knows all about it. Then we can have, that distress can be lessened or even eliminated, really, you know, just resting in the Lord. Then he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld. But there was no man that would know me. So refuge failed me. No man care for my soul. He was so lonely in the cave and something like that, you know. Didn't know what would happen at any time. So nobody around, but only the Lord, you know. And the Lord, you know, permitted to be in that situation, you know. And we have all been there one time or the other. And it's even the best time of once that we're just lonely like that, and we can call upon the Lord, cry unto the Lord, pour your heart before him, like he said, you know. So he could not find any, because he said refuge failed him. He could not find any shelter, you know, for him from the pursuit of Saul and the danger to his life. There was no shelter from anybody whatsoever. What would David do when he comes in a situation where there seems to be no help at all from anywhere? What do you do? What we do is what David did here. There are secrets of, in verse 5. Then I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge, see, and my portion in the land of the living. What is he saying here? David made the Lord himself his shelter, his own refuge. When there's no other refuge around him, you know, that is the best shelter ever, anyway. So protection from the enemy, you know. And he said, I made the Lord himself his shelter from the storm of his life. So when the storm comes to our life anytime, where do we go? Let us run to the real shelter, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So he fled to God alone. He hid himself beneath the wings of the eternal worm. That is the safest place ever, really. Anyway, not only that, David, when banished from his portion in the promised land, because he has things that he has inherited, and cut off from the portion of goods which he rightly inherited, he found his portion in God. He was cut off from anything that he had, really, you know. He became a fugitive and something like that, you know. So, but he found his portion in God. Yes, he said God was his own portion. He said, "Why there? Well, what he was saying there wasn't just for the future." You know, he is saying that even right now where I am in this distress and so on, that God is his portion, you know. And not just in the future, but right now, David said, he said, among the living. Where, even among Christianity here and so on, it is sometimes easier to believe in a portion in heaven. See, what about now? You see, you know, so it's a great lesson here in heaven than a portion upon earth, right here where we are now. See? So I will learn that from David. He said, in the land of the living, not when I get to heaven. That is a blessing God has for us right here. You know, so it's a great lesson that you know that David was revealing here by the Holy Spirit in there, you know. So we see in Acts 17:28. So you know, we are told that for in him, the Lord Jesus, we live and move and we have our being. So right there in there, so we see that. So he made the Lord his refuge, his shelter, and his portion, his supplier, you know, his provider. And he not just for that, the future, but right there in the midst of the storm. And of course, the Lord is not disappointing. So all by crying unto the Lord. You know, he was alone. Many of the time, he used to be alone with the Lord, you know. And the God make it possible to be alone in that cave. He can do all the cry he wants to do, you know. So that's mystery about crying in our prayer to the Lord. Don't forget the case of Hezekiah, you know, in the Bible, concerning prayer secrets, you know. So even when he had thoughts, hear the Lord. Put your house in order, you know, and so on like that, you know. By one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, the Messianic prophet, said him that he does hear the Lord. Put your house in order and so on like that, you know. And I'm going to die and all those things. The Bible says this man just turned his head back and faced the wall and cried unto the Lord. And he began to make his petition before the Lord and supplication, begin to tell the Lord many things and so on like that, you know. And before the prophet could leave the court of the king's ear, the Lord told him, turn back and tell him, you know. But you know, God reverses at least, we don't have at least more 15 more years and so like that, you know. So that's something about crying, you know, in our prayer, you know, that is just mysterious and just is, you know, a prayer secret too, you know. So anyway, now in verse 6, attend unto my cry. See, it's cry everywhere, right? It's great secret. For I am brought very low to the lowest you can get. You know? And deliver me from my persecutors, for they are very strong. I mean, they are stronger than I. Here, verse 7 says, bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. We need to make something, if you want to call it, what he will do, should the Lord deliver him. Bring me out of this prison, O Lord. And if you do, that I may praise thy name. See? And the righteous shall compass me about thereafter. Begin to even prophesy what will happen to him. Because we answer him anyway. For thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Begin to see light at the end of the tunnel right there. Even like a kind of a prophecy. So, after David turned the desperate situation to the Lord, he was sure that the Lord had it. And that the Lord shall deal bountifully with me, with him. He made it one point of his deliverance that he will praise the Lord. He won't just forget the benefit. That's why he wrote in one psalm, forget not all his benefits, amen. I won't forget his benefits. And not only that, and you know, that the Lord you know, will restore him to the fellowship of the righteous. You know, he was going among the heathen from that time of fugitive, he was going among the heathen people and things like that. He was sure that the Lord, you know, will restore him to the fellowship of the saints, because he said, the righteous shall compass me about thereafter, you know, and the Lord deliver him, you know. And that meaning that the saints shall gather around him, you know, a child of God, any one of us, a child of God. When the Father smites upon you, God's children will normally come around you, and when they hear your joyful testimony, right, and they come here and rejoice with you, and to have their own faith encouraged by the testimony of the other things. So David teaching us all these things, you know. So if you deliver me, Lord, I'm not going to deliver me. I just go back to the heart of God. I go to these things. I'm going to encompass me. And, you know, and I'm going to bump bountifully with me. So you see what happened, that little son in India, and great things happened to him in India. All those things really came to pass. You know what? When he says he became king, only about two tribes, right? They came around him, right? I think, I don't know, for 6 months in Hebron. Then later on, all the 12 tribes, now he became king over there. Truly, the true people of God, they came around him eventually, right? Look at that dark time, you know, that he was in, that, you know, he was going to prophesy as he was crying to the Lord. He came to pass anyway, so he became the king of Israel. His case was similar to Job too, you know, talking about deliverances, you know. Job similarly declared that his ordeal will end in a blessing. You see, David could see the end light at the end of the tunnel. So even Job too, You could see the blessing ahead of time after his trouble in Job 23:10. But he knew the way. Just what David said. But he knew the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall comfort as gold. Did it happen? It happened exactly. And in Job 42, we read verse 10. And the Bible says, and the Lord tore the captivity of Job. When he prayed, you see that one? Some prayer secret. When he prayed for his friend, prayer secret. Sometimes when you are in trouble, you don't just pray for yourself, right? So you pray for your friends. You even bring quicker deliverance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's teaching us not to be selfish. Don't let your current situation allow blind you to the need of others, you know? So Job taught us that lesson. There are some prayer secrets, right? When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much he had before. He said, when you have tried me, say, I comfort like gold. You won't have physical gold. Give it to him right now. In verse 11, we are told. Then came there unto him all his brethren. Like David said, he said, the Lord should compass me, right? All his brethren and all his sisters and all they that have been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him. And they comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. That's right. That's what they do. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an ink of gold. Verse 12 says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, used to have 7 before, and 6,000 camels instead of three thousand, and 1,000 yoke of oxen instead of 500, and 1,000 sheep instead of 500. So we see that I could see, what did it happen when he prayed for his friend, when making intercessions, praise the Lord, when interceding for others, that's where the deliverance came. You know, not only when we just close our eyes and just be bound by our own need and things like that, you know. So what a great prayer secret that is in the life of Job right there, you know. And over in the Bible, you know, the Bible declares that nothing is too hard for the Lord our God. The Lord intercepted in Mark 10:27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. These are uplifting scripture from the Lord himself that we can get anything we want from the Lord that is in the will of God. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? These are all related to prayer secrets. When you know that nothing shall be impossible unto God, then there's nothing you cannot ask from the Lord, right? So it's a great secret that to know that nothing is too hard for you, no matter what your situation, my situation might be. Remember how it might look impossible to man, not with God. With God, all things are possible. It's a prayer secret too, you know. Not only that, in Jeremiah 33, verse 2, thus said the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Look at verse 3. Call unto me. See? And I will answer thee. Positive. Not because maybe I will answer you. No. Positively, I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See? Some prayer secrets, you know. So just call upon me. Yeah, I will answer you, you know. So that no more doubting without answer me and things like that. You know, say I will answer you. So no matter what the situation might be, no illness is too great. You can go into all phases of life. No illness is too great for our Lord, because he's a great physician, you know, to heal us. In Matthew, or throughout his ministry, Matthew 4:23, he says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, see, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and teaching and healing all manner of sickness. And we're bringing that out, that nothing is too hard for the Lord, right? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. In the same book of Matthew 9:35, the same kind of thing is recorded. That was in Galilee, in his own area, right? All over Israel, in 9:35 of Matthew. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness, you know, and every disease among the people. So no matter what confronts us, even in the same book of Matthew, a long chapter 8, a long record of all kind of you know, ministration of the Lord Jesus in there, you know, the 17th verse, you know, now when they see what the Lord was doing, they now see that he was the Messiah that came among them. Then they now say of what was he doing, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and there our sicknesses. These are things that help our prayer when we need healing, anything of the thing like that. Well, you know, Jesus Himself, not an angel, no, Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. We don't need to bear it. Are we to be tested? Oh, yes, you know. But you stay right here and begin to declare what God has done for us. Satan needs force at times, you know, for him to let go of what he is doing and so on. But go ye must. We are told, resist the devil and he will flee. That is the God's instruction. And man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Hebrews 13:8. So you can't say just when he was in the Galilee, I think that, you know, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And Malachi 3:6 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. This scripture can really, you know, boost our prayer life. So we say the Lord doesn't change. Whatever, at what time they say, whatever we see you do in Capernaum, come and do it here in your own country. You know? Praise the Lord. So, you know, so he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only difference that today, he doing this with the instrumentality of us, his people. He is the air, and we are his body. And by the Holy Ghost, he has given unto us. You know, so now, and believing and accepting that the Lord Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses, one can joyfully declare the victory as David did, for example, in Psalm 103. We can now say, Bless, verse 2. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, you know. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth? Not some of them. All that is this, these things you say to yourself every day, you know, something like that, you know. So you can't put sin on you. Nobody can put disease on you. The Lord Jesus took care of the same thing, you know. The same thing, to take care of it all. It's a full redemption. Praise the Lord. You know, but Paul says, who redeemeth? Redeemeth and alive from destruction, you know. Who cannot deal with loving kindness and tender mercies? Satisfy their mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And here are some other scriptural assurances for our healing. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. That is a joyful thing. So, boost our prayer life. If anything happens and so on, that, you know, you can be assured. The Lord, I always had the word all of our sins, forgive them, all of our iniquities, he forgave them, all of our deeds, he healed them. In James 5:15, we are told the same thing. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. See, what great promise from the Almighty. And again, leave that alone. There is no fear too great that the Lord cannot deliver from when we seek him. You know, in Psalm 34, verse 4. See, I saw the Lord. Some secrets of prayer, you know, prayer secrets. You know, I saw the Lord. When fear has to come around you, because it comes to anybody, no matter what, we have to just rebuke it, you know. So I saw the Lord and he heard me. He always hearing us. And he delivered me from all my fears. King of Israel had fear, of course, you know, when you are seeing mortar and something like that, you know. So, but the Lord is there to deliver, not some of them, from all of them. Verse 5 says, they look unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. No matter what fear comes to our heart, all we have to do is to seek the Lord about it, and the Bible says, from all of them, the Lord will deliver us. In Psalm 23, verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. See that? for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We even have it much more better today. So, and the great comforter, the Holy Ghost. If I go away, then the Father will send you the comforter. And we are all witnesses here that are here today. The comforter has come. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the living God. You have been sealed with him until the day of redemption. You know, the Holy Spirit of promise. He has come is with you to comfort us. So we don't fear any evil anymore by the grace of God, because we know greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, meaning the wicked one. Now, there is no trouble too great that the law cannot deliver in answer to prayer, no matter what the trouble may be. Verse 6 of Psalm 34. See, some secrets of prayer, no matter what the trouble is. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cries. See, he's always crying. All kind of prayer, you know. You know, he cries. Sometimes there are all kinds of prayers in the Bible, you know. So these are just that David prayed in the difficult time. He wasn't ashamed. He cried to the Lord. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Always. He never failed, you know. Heard him. And saved him out of all his troubles. I just like the word all the time. So, I mean, that's where the Lord works things, right? When he does a thing, he does it well. Praise the Lord. He does it well, you know. So all the struggle. Psalm 91 verse 15 says, "He shall call upon me." You see, prayer secrets. You call upon me in faith. Shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. See, I will deliver him and honor him. In Psalm 138 verse 7, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies. And thy right hand shall save me." So, what divine assurance this Bible has given to his children. You know, as we read it daily and believe in him, and that nothing can defeat us in this world. We are more than conquerors in anything. Are we comforted? Yes, we are all. David was confronted. You can see all the story. But we are more than conquerors in all these things. No situation or problem is insurmountable when we seek the Lord. Psalm 105. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name." See that? And why is give thanks unto him? Call upon his name. Make known that it's this among the people. Even when you seem to be in trouble, don't stop giving testimony. Amen.
Amen.
Keep on giving, don't stop giving thanks. You know? So, you know, and then tell the people and so on, be testifying and so on. Satan hates that, you know. Call upon the Lord, testify, sing unto him, sing praises unto him. Talking of all his wonderful work. See? At least you can tell of what things he has done for you in the past. You know? Bible says, "He that deliver and don't deliver, and we yet deliver." Amen? So that confidence in our heart, even in the current distress, present distress, if you have it, we can testify and still talk of the great things of the Lord. Praise the Lord. See? So, and then, so glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. You see, when you are seeking, let your heart rejoice. You know, when you are seeking the Lord, you know why? Because you know he will surely hear you, right? He will bring forth deliverance. For no, whatever situation you are in, he will bring forth deliverance. Seek the Lord, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his face forevermore. See, don't give up. So keep on seeking the Lord. He will bring forth deliverance, and trust in the Lord's strength. And let his joy be your strength all the time, amen. All the time around you, bring weakness and things like that, you know, discouragement. But it's not your strength now, it's the Lord's strength. See, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. But remember his marvelous works. So what he has done for you in the past, remember all those marvelous he has done for you in the past works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. So the Bible says, seeking his face means that what? To have an audience with him like David had in the cave. He poured his heart before him. He told the Lord of all his troubles. As if you are sitting in front of your father or your friend, you just pour it all out. You vent it out and so on. And, you know, and the Lord is always bringing deliverance, you know. These are your prayer secrets, really, you know. So that's why we are told in Hebrews in 4:16, we are invited. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So no matter what the need might be, could be for spiritual need, could be financial need, could be health or whatever, the Lord will help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So just come boldly. Don't want to come beggarly. Come boldly, you know. So that it will help us. When we accept this invitation from the Lord, we must be conscious that we are approaching the Holy God and must ascribe to Him the honor, glory, the majesty, and the praise, and praise His holy name. See, so encouraging us to boost our faith in our prayer life, and literally to seek this about prayer. There is power in prayer, brethren. You all know that by now. There is deliverance through prayer. Forgiveness and peace come through prayer. Help with life decisions comes through prayer. Healing comes through prayer too. That would say the prayer of faith, right? You know, provision for life's basic needs comes through prayer. Restore relationship with God comes through prayer, or with one spouse, or even with one's children, if they are going in the wrong direction. Even the brethren, all of these things, restoration of relationship, all come through prayer. Prayer is a wonderful thing. You know, I think that, you know. Now, so very important part now. So prayer speaking. What next? Now, so we have prayed. And after you have said, what's next? You know, you haven't specifically seen what's next. So you have you know, asked the Father for something in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we taught us to pray. So now, what do you do now? You have to act as though you have it. Amen. He even taught us, when you pray, believe that you receive it, right? And then you shall have it. The Lord taught us that lesson, you know, simple prayer, right? Not when you see anything. When you pray, when you believe that you receive it. And the Lord says, you shall have it. I don't have that scripture here, but it's somewhere in India, in the Gospels right there, you know. So now you act as though you have it. You are to talk as though you possess it. You are never to go back on your prayer. Never ever do that, you know. If you ask somebody to pray for you too, act as though you possess the thing for which that person has prayed for you. See? Just begin to act like that, you know. You are never to allow yourself to speak as though you don't have it. Don't ever do that. You are to know that you have it. Just tell the Holy Spirit, just say that you have it, because the Word of God says so. When you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. That's how you know that you shall have it, you know, as you stay right there with the Word of God. We are to thank the Lord, you know, as though you have it in your possession right now. Keep on praising the Lord. Faith is always thankful, always full of praise, you know, not when you see this, you know. You have asked in Jesus' name, right? And then, you know, and he had you. Just like even in the Old Testament, all the time, David said, I cast you, he asked, you know, he had me. You may not see the answer right now, but you know that, you know, it will come to pass. Anyway, you know that your prayer is answered. When someone said at one time, someone said, and this is the reason, if there is such a thing as a bookkeeper in heaven, the person who is in charge of the department of bookkeeping in heaven has put your request down, and opposite that your request, he has written answered. Praise the Lord. And you know what? There is such a bookkeeper in heaven, brethren. Two scriptures in Revelation 5:8. Yeah, that's a book, that's a keeping of our prayers that encourages us, right? Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the book before this, and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. What are those odors? Which are the prayers of saints. Yes, that's a bookkeeping in heaven of our prayers. That wants to encourage us all the time to pray, may not to pray always and not to faint. Even again, Revelation 8:3, I believe it is, we are told. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having the golden censer. And I was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints. Look at that word. Prayers of all saints. Yeah, yours is there, mine is there. Praise the Lord. What a mystery. What a blessing, you know. Yeah, that is a bookkeeping in heaven, even of our prayers and all that, you know, upon the golden altar. So, now, what do we do next? we are to go on praising God for what we already prayed for. We are to go on thanking the Lord for Him, for it. In Philippians 4:6, we are told, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Oh, what a comforting scripture is this. You know, when you come to it many times, what do you really do about this situation? God told us what to do about it. That is the best thing you can do about any situation. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You see that thanksgiving in India? Let your request be made known unto God. And we are promised, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That scripture, the very first one, be careful for nothing. That, you know, in another rendering, it says be anxious for nothing. Praise the Lord. We are to be anxious for nothing, really, you know, according to the word of the Lord. And that's one of the things that really beset God's people, you know. The thing that really beset us. Can we get anxious about many things? That's really violating the scripture, right? You have to really come to yourself. I mean not to be anxious at all. So after you have prayed, be certain that your prayer was made to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is written squarely upon the word of God. That is a guarantee. If that, and that is the Bible verse for that, be aware that any unbelief in your own prayer or the prayer of anyone else can annul that prayer. So be careful. See, you know, it can annul faith too, you know. Meaning it make it void, right? Make the prayer invalid. So don't let unbelief get a hold of you. Be aware that any unbelief in your own prayer or prayer of anyone cannot prayer and also faith. Your prayer must be answered. It must be answered, you know, unless you annul it yourself, you know, unless you make it void. That's what I'm talking about, by your unwise talk of doubt. So first of all, in fact, when you're making your prayer, you must get all that out of your mind. We are told in 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. See, prayer secrets, right? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. See? So when you are praying, you don't pray without that. You get rid of all doubts, right? And then when you have prayed, of course, don't let that come and get a hold of you. We are to pray with thanksgiving. The Bible tells us right here, you know. And we have to keep on thanking the Lord and rejoicing. So, and why should we not be thankful? Why should we, did you not already pray? Yes, you did. So, God hear you. So, just keep on going. So, in Psalm 3, verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hills. Ela, he is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is God that answered it prayer. So the Lord heard you also, you know, in so many scriptures. If your prayer was according to his will, we are told. So he will know that he hears us. Not only David, 1 John 4:14 says so. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we... First John 4:14. And this is the confidence. So this is after you have made your prayer, right? So we are sure that whether you see it or doesn't make a difference. God has heard you. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us assuredly. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So point blank there, he has heard us. So nothing to doubt. So thus, we go about our business. So you have to just rejoice, waiting for the fulfillment of your prayer. Cast all your anxiety upon the Lord all the time, because he answered you already. You are a laborer together with the Lord anyway. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says so. So you walk with him. For we are laborers together with God. We are told, you have made your request known to him, according to that scripture, and it is his work to fulfill it, not you and me. The Lord will say, I will do it. If I am one place, if you ask the Father anything in my name, I, Jesus, will do it. All he says, It's not me and me doing it. It's the Lord who does it, you know. So you are a partner with the Lord in all these things, you know, co-laborer together with Him. You have done your part by calling upon the Lord in faith, and the Lord has fulfilled His part too. Whether I have seen it or not, doesn't matter. Well, now, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that's what I say, fill your heart because you know your prayer is answered and so on. You can go about your business now with a heart full of thanksgiving. See? So, and you can say, oh, Father, I want to thank you because you have heard me, heard my prayer, and because you have answered it. Nothing to do with the senses. No. Where? The enemy, according to what he does, he may come, you know, do you have any evidence? Yes, tell me, I have evidence. Where is it? Faith. Faith is the evidence. Praise the Lord. That is in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when the servant asks you, where is the evidence? Or, you know, I have it. It's faith. My faith. Bible says so. Now, not only that, the adversary may say, but you don't see it, or you don't feel it, then you tell him, you know what? I don't need feeling, I don't need seeing. Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. That we just put into flight all the time. These are the things that start to wear down the faith of God's people, young believers especially, you know, even some adult believers and things like that, you know, start to cause doubt. Because you don't see, doesn't make a difference, you know. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So, you have the word of God. And according to the word of God, the Lord said, concerning His word, in Matthew 24:35, another booster to our prayer, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So I know what He said we do, we will do it. Now, even in the Old Testament, the Lord Father said in Isaiah 55, verse 10, so I close that this morning. Just some secrets in prayer, you know. Isaiah 55, verse 10. Concerning God's word and His promises. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Praise the Lord. Whatever I see, the Lord says, Bible says one of the things that the Lord has, Bible says He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Praise the Lord. He will accomplish that for his people all the time. Now, so you may claim these additional promises in the next verses of that same chapter of Isaiah 55, you know, and this, what I want to read here, help me when you first moved here, in the days when we were earning minimum wage, we were earning minimum wage. This scripture helped me a lot. I will quote Isaiah 55, verse 12, where the Bible says, for you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now watch this one. That's where I'm going right now. 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. That was my song. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. You know. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off, you know. Whether it is in the Old Testament, it makes no difference. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. I would also like Deuteronomy 8:7, those today and even now, for the Lord thy God, when we first came here, I will just say this scripture, you know, and just in my heart and so on. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. It's a good land. But I was having minimum wage. But it's a good land, right? God says it's a good land, right? So, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that springs out of valleys and hills. Out of Palestine, I look at another land that is like this, but this land where we are in that God brought us into. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive and honey. A land, look at this, a land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. When we first came here, minimum wage $3.50 an hour, right? So this scripture, I say to myself and something like that, you know. Even back in Nigeria, when I came here first time in 1979, I learned the secret of not eating white bread. So when I went back to Nigeria in 1979, I cut off white bread from all our house, even back in Nigeria. Yes. There is one market in Victoria Island, they call it Orphan Supermarket, belong to the military. They sell this wheat bread in there. So I will go there and buy the wheat bread and so on, you know, back then, you know. So when we came here, back when I go to eat bread without scarceness, right? I go to fry, I will look at the thing they are selling when the wheat bread is on sale. So I will go there. Praise the Lord. You eat bread without scarceness, I shall lack nothing. Well, there was nothing, right? So, but God's word is eternal. It can never fail. Praise the Lord. So anyway, just encouraging scriptures here, talking about some prayer things and so on. Even I like Psalm 81 too in those days, and even now. Look at some of these verses in Psalm 81. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a sound and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet. In the new moon, we don't do that and so on. We don't look at new moon, anything like that in the Christian faith, anything like that. No, but I just read it. In the time appointed, you know, on your solemn feast day. But watch this now. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out throughout the land of Egypt. Where I had a language that I understood not. That time when we came here, where you walk, oh, you have accent, we can't understand you. You have accent, all this kind of thing, you know, were comforting us and things like that, you know. Where I had, you know, a language that I understood not. Now, watch this one now. Then I declare this scripture, this verse here, 6 and 7. I remove his shoulder from the body, his arms were delivered from the pots. You know, today I used to go to the supermarket. First, my first job was to do event. I do some janitorial song. Then I go to the, my wife was doing some packing in some meat. I do some meat packing in the cold room. I do inventory. I go to fry. We go to buy. I do inventory and all these things. I'll be reading this scripture. Bible say, he removed his shoulder from the body and his hands were delivered from the pots. You know? So, it who did it? The Lord himself. Thou callest, you see now, again at the end of it, thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee. I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. See? Praise the Lord Jesus. The word of God is true, you know? So, it doesn't matter, it's Old Testament, it's written for us, and so on and that, you know? So, deliver your hand from the pot, sir. Your shoulder from the body. God promised he did it for Joseph. And you know the story of Joseph, don't you? You know? That's how he began in Egypt, you know? And until one day, God promoted him, you know, called the prime minister of Egypt and the world, really, you know. So, brethren, we're finishing this morning. Yeah, there are so many things we can talk about prayer. It's just like, you know, I can say some secrets about prayer. Importantly, about prayer, I end with this now. Importantly, in the art of prayer, is the secret of praise and thanksgiving, you know. Enter into God's presence with praise. Bible tell us, bring your request to God with thanksgiving. Praise him for what he has already done. Yeah, these are, you know, simple prayer secrets, right? Praise him for what he has already done. The powers of heaven and earth, the power to move mountains, is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. You know, begin the habit of the command in Hebrews 13:15. Beginning, if you are not been doing it, if you have been doing it, continue to do it. If you haven't done it today, in Hebrews 13:15. And that's the last piece I want to read and I close. By him, meaning the Lord Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Meaning at any time, no matter what you are going through, continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Much more can be said about prayer. Some of these things are just a reminder to us. Some of them, you know, just Bible says today, you know these things, yes. We should put you in remembrance. The Holy Spirit says in the book of Peter. So we thank you, Father, because you are the God that answered prayer. Nothing good will you be told from you that walk uprightly. Are you our uprightness? You have been made unto us wisdom. And you have been made unto us, wisdom, made unto us sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. You are our very righteousness. So we thank you, Father. The word sincere we shall ask the Father in your name, he will give it us. So this morning, Lord, as we go, so Lord, you know that our prayer life be transformed, Lord, and as we practice the scriptures in the name of Jesus. Not only this one that we talk about this morning, but everything you say about, you know, about prayer in the Bible, you know, practicing the scriptures, Lord, they are true, they are yea, and they are amen. Lord, help us, Lord. And we know also, the Bible says this about prayer. Another secret is this. The Bible says, when we have done the will of God, I believe it's Hebrews 10, then do we patiently wait for it. So grant unto all patience when we have prayed about anything, Lord, because it will surely come to pass. Even the same David we are reading about, in Psalm 40, he said, I patiently wait upon the Lord, and he hearkened unto him. Psalm 40, verse 1, I believe it is. So we thank you this morning that we serve the living God, Lord, who cares about us, who knows all our need before we ever ask him, and is ever ready. So we bless you and we worship you this morning. Lord, we want to follow your example, you know, at the tomb of Lazarus. Say, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. And we remember that you say, as the Father has sent you, so you have sent us. So I go to my Father and your Father. I go to my God and your God. So we know our Heavenly Father hears us always. That you dismiss all distress from us. And we should pray joyfully and making our request with joy, as one scripture says, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We worship and we adore you. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.